Oh, right. Well, I guess I did good enough last time. He's let me do it again. So we'll go ahead and go forward with it. Me and Pastor were talking last week, maybe in the week before, but we were talking about taking for granted things that you think people might know because you've heard it so many times, but it's new for them and they've never heard it before. Me and my wife have taught a kids class for years, and with kids curriculum, it's the same 10 stories with every curriculum that you get. It's always the same thing. For example, even our theme for VBS, Jonah and the Whale, is always one of the stories. David and Goliath is always one of the stories. And a lot of times these stories, they always end up staying in a kids class. They never really, once you get out of the 3 to 5 or even the 6 to 9, sometimes you never hear these stories again in your life. And some of them are my personal favorite, David and Goliath being one of them. And tonight we're going to look at another one that I like. So if you would, turn your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter number 3. The title for this tonight is When the World Sees Jesus. A lot of us know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't want to necessarily look at the story from their perspective. I want to look at the response that Nebuchadnezzar gives afterwards. So if you would, look at Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, that's roughly 90 feet, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, roughly 9 feet. So 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. I want you to realize that this invitation wasn't for everybody. It was for the higher members of society, so to speak. He invited only the important people to this dedication. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of all the instruments, which and fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. It describes this furnace multiple times in that fashion. Not just a furnace, not just a fire, a burning fiery furnace. Finish verse 15. But you should cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What they're saying is, we don't have to think about this. This isn't something we need to turn around and think about. We already know what we're going to do here. If it be so, verse 17, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The guys who threw them in the fire died because it was so hot. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He was astonished. He was shocked. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, then their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This story really speaks for itself. There isn't much explaining you have to do after this. You have three young men who stood up for God in a world that wanted them to bow down to the images that it put before them. They refused to, were threatened even further with an even worse punishment, and still stood their ground, and they didn't even have to think about it. Yeah. Tonight I want to look at, when the world sees Jesus, how can you let the world see Jesus? And we'll look at these three men. The first thing is, don't bow. These three men purposed in their heart, as Daniel did just two chapters before, that they were not going to bow to anything that the world put before them. They weren't going to bow to anything that the king made. They weren't going to bow to anything that man made. They weren't going to bow down to this 90-foot tall, massive golden image that was against what they believed in. In 1 John, verse 5:21, the last verse of the book, almost has nothing to do with what the rest of the book talks about, but John writes in the end of it, little children, keep yourselves from idols. What he's saying here is, don't bow. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul writes, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul describes it as a war. He doesn't describe it as being easy. It's not an easy thing. When you're standing there, maybe with a friend or two, and the whole world is bowing down to an image, and you're the odd one out. You're the weird one. At work, I refuse to work on Sundays. And I get... It was bad in the beginning, but now it's a lot easier. Now it's a joke that everyone makes. When they send out the text, hey, there's work on Saturday, and they put parentheses, except for Eddie. They think it's funny. They joke around about it. It's a big joke for them now. But before, it wasn't. And even now, there's some of them that still give me flack for it. Like, well, I'm going to start going to church. I said, oh, I got a good place for you. You can come with me on Sunday morning. They're working. So, but don't bow. And James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All these verses are telling you, don't bow. Number two is, don't be afraid. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing, most likely, in the king's presence right next to the furnace that they were going to be thrown into. And they were threatened, if you bow down, it's okay, just bow down. Well, it'll be okay. You got nothing to worry about. If you do it, you don't have to worry about this. They didn't have to think about it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to bow. Joshua 1:9 says, this is God talking to Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. In Isaiah, he says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. These verses are telling us not to be afraid. Psalm 23 talks about Jesus being a shepherd, and there's, I believe it's verse 4, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. All these verses are saying God's with you. You don't have to be afraid. And the last thing is, let the world see Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow, they were faced with the furnace, they were thrown into the furnace. The end of the story. Without Jesus, that is the end of the story. Look at verse 23. The Bible says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. The picture that it's giving you is this, that without Jesus, that's the end. That's the end. In Matthew, when Jesus is describing the great feast, he says that there were people there that weren't invited. And the Lord of the feast said, bind them hand and foot, cast them into outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm talking about hell. Without Jesus, that's where this story ends. Without Jesus, this is where the story of your loved one, your coworker, your relative, your friend, your best friend, that's where their story ends. Bound hand and foot, cast into a burning fiery furnace. But with Jesus, that's not the end of their story. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to be really quick. I told my wife it was going to be really quick, and she said, you said that last time, and it didn't happen. So this time it will be. The world may never see Jesus, through you, or they, excuse me, they may never want to see Jesus. But if you bow, they'll never see Jesus. If you're afraid, they'll never see Jesus. But, and even though they may never see Jesus, look at verse, look at Hebrews, I should turn there too. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's enough of a reason not to bow, not to be afraid, and to let the world see Jesus. And you want to see what happens? Look what happens when the world sees Jesus. Look at back in Daniel. Look at chapter 4. Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. That does not happen if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bow. That does not happen if they're afraid. What's happening here is what David said in Psalm 38 or 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't bow. Don't be afraid. Let the world see Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that it was a benefit. I pray that someone got something out of it, Lord. I pray that it was your words, not mine. I pray that you bless us tonight, bless us the rest of this week. Pray with us, be with us as we go to the youth rally this Saturday. I pray that you'd open the hearts of the teens. I pray that you'd prepare them for it, God, that they get something out of it. I pray that you'd be with us as we start up the youth, the teen class next week, God. I pray that it's all in your honor. It's all for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
You know, where he ended there, he left me some time. Amen. And so, thank you, brother. Let me just say this to start with. I am so thankful. Brother, can we just bring it down just a little bit? We got a little more echo in here. So I am so thankful that we have men that can use their abilities. Amen. Next Wednesday, Brother Joe's going to preach. Amen. He's on the schedule. He'll be like, no. Yeah. Yeah. And so I am so thankful. I can't even tell you. When I've told somebody, I was at different places, I said, we've got several men that can preach and that do preach in our church. And, you know, for a church our size, when somebody hears it, they're like, wow, that's a blessing. Most have to go out and find it. Listen, I think it's a blessing. I am thrilled with that. So, and I'm thankful for these guys. And when they come, they preach something that we can, I don't feel like they're just filling up space. Right? Filling up a time. I feel like it's something that's a blessing. And, of course, what he doesn't know, what nobody knows, except for me, because I determined it really this past couple of weeks. I've been praying about this. And this Sunday, we're going to be finishing up the characters at the cross, because Jesus is going to ascend. And, you know, and so we're going to begin in next week a series on 1st and 2nd Peter, which really deals with living for Christ in the midst of great persecution. And, you know, and this is, you know, what these boys, they're men, I don't know the age of them exactly right off, but when it says we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, you know, when we're on the side of right, we don't need to be angry, we don't need to be upset, we don't need to be scared. We don't need to be afraid. I don't mean we're never afraid of, like, this is a little scary, I'm about to get burned to death. If you're not a little afraid of that, something's wrong with you up here, right? they went in there, but their comment was just, if he'll not deliver us, then, you know, we'll still serve. We're not going to serve your gods. If he delivers us, he delivers. If he doesn't, he doesn't. We're not going to serve your gods. We are planted. And that takes a level. You know what it really takes? It takes a decision ahead of time. And Brother Eddie brought out, and I think it's just such a something that I want to just keep in front of us all the time, and I try to and attempt to, is this. We got to be used where God puts us, in what we have and what occasions we have and what people that we interact with. And, you know, those boys, we'll call them boys, I don't know, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they just said, we're gonna make a decision to sacrifice really just our life. And I don't mean just in death, but a life, and we're going to live different than the rest of the people. And by that, God, and this is what you just said, but by that, they were able to make an influence on a man that can make an influence on the nations. Do you ever feel like, who am I reaching? You don't know who you're reaching. The people that reached multitudes never thought they were reaching many. But and I don't know. You're like, well, I'm trying to find the right person that's going to reach the world. I don't know. But if whoever we put in our is in our path, and we become, what a blessing. There is just, and you know, and I don't want to preach that whole series. I do, actually. But what we see, and we get into part of it in 1st, 2nd Peter, is this thing of there's a reward. And our reward isn't based on our numbers. It's based on how we live this life. And I'm telling you, it's so worth it. So worth it. Let's pray.